Mark chapter 13 has been misapplied in many different ways and caused much trouble. And so understanding this chapter is important, especially as we look forward to things that are yet to be. Today we will be focusing from chapter 13, verse 23 down to verse 31. And a few weeks back we looked at a number of things that were not signs of Jesus coming. And we'll quickly reiterate what some of those were. We have rumors of wars, kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, troubles. These are not signs of Christ's coming. These are things that will happen all the way through, and they have been happening. If anyone can look at even a few years and say, well, we haven't had any wars, rumors of wars. We haven't had any famines in this place, earthquakes here and there, or any troubles in this world, then I would say you need to open your eyes and ears just a little bit more, because there has never been a time since humanity started spreading out of the Garden of Eden where we have not had all of those troubles that are described there. And they will continue right up until the end. But here in Mark chapter 13, verse 23, we begin to see some things that are foretold that are specific things. And what I want us to note today is that there are some things that are unmistakable and have not yet happened. There are some things that will not, that you can't pretend are something other than extreme that are going to happen. And we have those things listed for us here. Christ gives us some prophecy in regards to those things happening in the last days. And here we have, so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at those things that can't be misunderstood, can't be looked at in any other way. Then we will look at who Christ is gathering from verse 27. And finally, we're going to look at which generation Jesus is pointing to in this passage. Because all of these things are things which are misunderstood or misapplied out of these verses. And so we're going to begin reading there in Mark chapter 13, verse 23. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up our understanding and, Lord, help us to receive the instruction and the prophecy that is here given. And Lord, that our response would be the one that you intend. Lord, that we would truly watch and pray, that we would labor till you've come. And Lord, we pray that your name would be glorified. Amen. We have in verse 23 that phrase that is a repeat, but take heed, that is watch. It is be on your guard, take heed. This is a common theme throughout this whole section here, this whole chapter. Take heed. We are to be learning this not so that we can promote our own understanding or win debates with our friends and neighbors, but this is so that we will be on our guard, so that our eyes will be opened. Okay, some of you, you got to work on that. Keep your eyes opened. All right? Watching. Watching is not passive, like watching the television, but watching like you're on guard. And if you do not pay attention, the enemy is going to sneak around the edge. And so you're continually going from this side to the other. Watching. Because there is nothing worse than finding yourself unprepared. Here Jesus says to take heed. I have foretold you all things. And we won't go back and preach the last few messages, but remember, Jesus has described how there are a number of different things that were going to happen, including how people would be delivered up, brother and to brother, father, betrayed by their children. He also describes the time when Jerusalem would be under such great oppression and destruction that there would not be time to go into the house to get your stuff, your bags packed, but you would have to immediately run to preserve your life. Here he has foretold all things. Now, just so that we're not misunderstanding here, Jesus did not foretell every detail of everything that has ever happened between when he spoke that and now and till he comes. He has given us an overview of all the things that will be happening, the things that are normal and common. He has foretold to us that we would face troubles, trials, and tribulations. But now he is about to give us some specifics. In verse 24, we have the phrase, "But in those days." In those days. And we did mention this a few weeks back, that in the Old Testament you have several prophets who use the phrase, "that day," or "the day of the Lord." And they are pointing specifically to those end times when Christ will come and deliver his people. There is physical deliverance. There is deliverance from enemies that are gathered all around. There is deliverance and an eternal state that will be ushered in. The king who will then sit on his throne for 1,000 years, that day is in view here. But we have the phrase, "in those days," after that tribulation. There is some debate about whether this tribulation described here is pointing to that abomination of desolations from verse 14 that was prophesied by Daniel and repeated here by Jesus, or if that tribulation is describing the great tribulation, the end times, those 7 years of excessive tribulation. But he says, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. Now we can rule out AD 70 as the start of this because the sun has not been darkened. This is a very distinctive celestial that is having to do with the bodies that are in heaven. Sun, moon, stars. We're going to see all of them mentioned here in this, the next two verses. But here we have the sun being darkened. This is not figurative. This isn't figurative. It's not saying the sun being darkened representing something. Because what? What would the sun represent? Being darkened. No, this is the actual, real, created, physical sun being darkened. We can think of many ways that this can happen, and there have been times in the past where things such as huge volcanic eruptions have blotted out the sun from our view for a time, to some extent. But that is not what is in picture here, and we'll find out in the next little bit that that's not what this is under discussion here. This is not a normal, natural occurrence that we are describing here. This is a supernatural sign. Sun darkened. When we were discussing Jesus on the cross and how the sun was darkened for 3 hours, how that was an unusual sign. It was unusual because the sun doesn't just go dark in the middle of the day. Like, more than like clouds. Like, obviously, we know that sometimes you get a shadow, but we're talking dark. The sun doesn't go dark. And not for hours. Eclipses last minutes at most. Hours? This is supernatural. And here, when we find the sun shall be darkened, it doesn't give us a time period, but it is obviously more significant than just an eclipse. And we'll find that the next part about the moon actually eliminates the possibility of it referring to an eclipse. The sun is being darkened, and then it says, the moon shall not give her light. Now, for those of you who don't know, here's a little science lesson. The sun shines, and it is powerful with a lot of energy, and there is sunlight beaming out in every direction from the sun. And some of that light hits the little rock that's orbiting Earth, the moon, and it's reflected to us. The moon doesn't have its own light source. It is just reflecting the sun's light. For the moon to be dark, that means there's no sunlight getting to the moon. That means instead of something being between us and the sun blocking its light, there is something that is either totally stopping the sun from shining. Or darkened here doesn't mean totally dark, but very dark, to become dark rather than light. There's something either blocking the sun from shining at all, or there is something between not only the earth and the sun, but also between the sun and the moon. This is not talking about a natural event that anyone here or at any time in history has experienced. It is not a volcanic eruption blocking our view of the sun. It is something that is blocking the sun's light from the moon. Not only that, but in verse 25, it continues, and our third step of this one signal of Christ's coming, it says, and the stars of heaven shall fall. The stars of heaven shall fall. Now, here's where a lot of people go wrong when reading this passage. They say, okay, maybe the sun being darkened is an actual thing. Maybe the moon not giving her light, you know, that's the physical moon and we can't see it for some reason. And that's a sign to us of Christ's coming immediately, shortly, not with a great deal of time, but very soon after. But then they come to this verse 25 and they start spiritualizing the whole thing. And they say, oh, the stars of heaven falling, and this is talking about angels, you know, moving out of their place. But we'll find that that is not a sufficient answer for what is going on. This signal of the Son of Man's coming that we will find in verse 26 is the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, and the stars falling. Don't ask me exactly what that's going to look like, but it will be unmistakable when it happens. Unmistakable. Nothing like it has happened in all of time leading up to now. The stars of heaven shall fall. We're not talking about one meteor or a shower of meteors. We're talking about the stars, the ones that people can point to and perhaps point out the names of. Maybe you are like me and you can find the Big Dipper most of the time when you look into the stars. And you know those particular stars and their arrangement. And in that day, after those things, and after that tribulation, the sun's going to go dark, the moon's not going to shine, and the stars of heaven are even going to fall. And when you look to find the Big Dipper, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be seen. You're not going to be able to find it. Does this mean that the stars are going to fall? Like, which direction? Which direction do stars fall? You know, they're kind of out in space. I don't know. Let God figure that part out. This is His prophecy. But God will cause it so that it is unmistakable. The stars of heaven shall fall. Verse 25 then continues, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Again, spiritualizing this comes with a lot of risk. If you try and spiritualize this away and claim that these powers in heaven are anything other than God's natural order, the things that He has put in place from creation, you come to very disturbing conclusions. He is not here saying the powers and principalities of the air, or the powers and principalities that are over nations. Some would read that into this passage. No, this is speaking of the very fabric of natural order. The laws that we all know from physics and school, chemistry and all that. It all is turned upside down on its head. Perhaps this is telling us that the shaking of the heavens is the stars will be moving. All out of order and out of place. They will not be set anymore, but will be going chaotic. That's my conjecture on that particular part. But we know that the heavens are shaken. It doesn't say the earth will be shaken. It's not that we'll be looking up there and the stars will seem to move because the earth is shaking, but that somehow the very universe all around is being shook up. I believe this is because of verse 26. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But here we have then these unmistakable, you can't miss them signs that Jesus Christ is the one who's coming. Now remember, we have talked in the past out of this chapter how there are many people who will claim to be Christ and will say, here is Christ, there is Christ, who will claim to have been speaking from God, and they will claim that this is the end or that is the end, and we are to ignore them completely. We are to understand that they are false teachers, that they are not from God, but we are to instead wait for that time when the unmistakable signs of His coming are here. Things that no one can fake. There are many people today who try and fake the Holy Spirit. They put on a good show. And they try and convince people that they have some special abilities because they are important to God. And I will just let you know right now, while I take it as God's great privilege to be up here in the pulpit, I will explain to you God's word, but I do not claim to be perfect. I do not claim to have all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I do not claim that I have power that you don't have access to. Each one of us has the very same God that we can go to, and we can receive from Him amazing things. I don't know if you've ever considered it, but when we came to God for salvation, that was a miracle. And if anybody thinks anything different, oh, that's just commonplace, I would doubt, And I would ask you to consider, have you actually seen your sin for what it is? Have you seen how holy God truly is? For me to be rescued from my sin means God did a miracle. It's nothing less than that. All that to say, I am not up here claiming to be something special, something amazing and wonderful because of who I am. I am here pointing only to Christ. And those false Christs, they will do wonders. I want us to briefly look at that in verse 22. These false Christs and prophets shall arise, and they will show signs and wonders. They will show signs and wonders. They will do things. But do you know what no one here on earth can accomplish? Turning the sun off. And I've never met anyone yet who had the ability to block the sun's rays from the moon. No human being with no matter of resources here on earth would be able to accomplish that. It will be unmistakable when Jesus Christ comes, and no one will have to wait for Him to say, "And I'm Jesus Christ, come back again," because everyone will be able to see the signs of His coming, the stars of heaven falling, the powers in heaven shaking, unmistakable signs of His coming, not fakeable. No one can pretend this. Jesus Christ, when He comes, it will be obvious. That doesn't mean everyone's going to like it. We know from other passages regarding Christ's return that there will still be many nations who will oppose Him, and He will have to come as a conquering hero with a sword out of His mouth to defeat the nations, and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle, which, depending on the size of your horse, no matter the size of the horse, it's a lot of blood. It's a lot of death. He will come conquering and delivering His people. But it will be unmistakable when Jesus comes. In verse 26, we see, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds." They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. He will come. It's not that they're going to see some clouds that look like the Son of Man. They will see the Son of Man. They will see Him. They will see Him coming through the clouds. Notice He will be coming with great power and glory. And this is why I say that I believe that the very foundations, the fabric of this universe will be changed and shaken at Jesus' approach, because He comes with great power and glory. And when God comes, there is unmistakable signs of it. When God spoke to the nation of Israel, and Moses went to the top of that mountain, how did they describe what happened to that mountain? It was on fire. There was smoke. There was quaking. And we could put that off and say, "Oh, it was an earthquake, and it was a volcano." And we can play around and imagine that it was something less than. The presence of God made the very creation shake and tremble at His presence. When God comes, there is a response from the things that He has created. And the earth and the stars and the planets, they all know who made them. And when Jesus comes in power and glory, everything recognizes Him. And it changes the very fabric of how things have been working. The stars are falling. The powers of heaven are shaking. The sun is darkened and the moon is not giving its light because at the presence of Jesus, nothing is the same. And now we're going to spiritualize this just a little bit. This is the same thing that should be true in your life. If you have called out to Jesus Christ, He promises that if we come to Him, He will in no wise cast us out. But when Jesus comes, He doesn't come and everything is the same. When He comes, things are different. When Jesus appears in your life, there should be some shaking. There should be some cosmic shifting in your life. If you got saved and you were the same the day before and you did the same things that day and the same things the next day, then I would beg you, consider whether Jesus Christ has come to you or whether you have a mental knowledge of Him but have not felt His presence. Because when Jesus is present, things are different. Things are very different. There was a song I learned as a boy. Things are different now. Something happened to me that day when Jesus came into my heart. Things are different now. We should be able to look back to that time when Jesus came and realize that everything in our life was turned upside down. The things that were bright and warming to our life are now dull and lifeless. And the things that used to be our guiding stars are no longer important to us. But now the day star, the Son of Man, has arisen in our soul and He is everything to us. If Jesus is not everything to you, if your life is not drastically different because of the presence of Jesus Christ, you need to be very careful. Be very wary, because it is possible that Jesus has not come to you, that His presence is not with you. Because when God comes, things change. Things change in a drastic way. We can't pretend that the coming of our Savior would be any different when He comes in great power and glory to be seen by all and to bring judgment to the world and to reign and to rule for His people Israel. When He comes in great power and glory, everything will be different. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything will be shaken at His approach. Picture it with me. Someday in the future, perhaps today, Christ is coming again. And as He approaches earth, everything around earth begins to change. The sun changes, the moon changes, the stars fall from their positions, their exact points, and do you know that it is not a recent thing, but for all of time, man has been able to look to the stars and know where they would be tomorrow. We could look up and know the exact arrangements of them, what kind of motions they go through. We can point to them and know where they would be. This understanding of the heavens will be worthless at that point, because everything will have changed. And then the Son of Man will be seen. Recently in the United States, there was an eclipse, and it made the news because lots of people went outside to watch the eclipse as it happened in the middle of the day, and it happened across populated areas so that many people were able to see it. And everyone went out to look and to experience that. Just imagine when the sun goes dark, not for a minute, but for a length of time. And when the moon is darkened, not through a normal natural process that we all have seen on a number of occasions, but rather in a supernatural way. And imagine the stargazing people will be doing when the stars of heaven are all out of order and out of place. I guarantee you everyone will be outside with their eyes lifted up. And at that moment, Christ will come. And as the Son of Man appears, everyone will see it. In today's opportunity, with all of the fancy technology and cameras and TVs and all the different ways of seeing things, we are used to everyone can see anything at any point. And because things are recorded, we can see it after it's happened. And because of AI, things can be made up. But at that point, there will be no mistaking this is Jesus, because everyone will be able to look up and see him coming. Now, I don't know how fast he will be coming. I don't know if he's going to take a day going around the whole earth so that everyone gets a chance to see him. But he says that they shall see him. They shall see the Son of Man. They're not going to hear about it. They're not going to, you know, think they know something or have something reported to them. They're going to be able to look outside and they're going to see Christ Jesus. Nothing else taking the spotlight from him. No other bright lights to take the glory away from him. He alone will be seen. Shining brightly. Jesus Christ will come in great power and glory. We sometimes think, well, is his coming near? Has he left us here? But I would encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, look for his coming. Be on your guard. Be watching, because when he comes, you're not going to have days, months, years to get ready. You're going to need to be ready. You're not going to have time to get your affairs in order, to make sure you dealt with those last little bits and pieces. You see these few signs and Jesus is going to be there. And you're not going to have a chance. You're not going to have a chance to repent of those sins that are cluttering up your life. You're not going to have a second chance to bow down and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, rescue my soul. No, he will be coming immediately after these events. There is no delay in verses 24 through 26. There's no delay. As far as we can tell, there is no time for getting ready. That is why Jesus says, but take ye heed. If you're not ready now, you won't have time then to get ready. We are running fast out of time. I won't keep you late. We're going to briefly consider the picture or the parable of the fig tree. In this passage, verse 28, 29, and 30, the parable of the fig tree is that the branch is tender and it puts forth leaves, and you know that summer is near. There is no waiting. It is any day. It is within hours. It is the beginnings of summer when the fig puts forth its leaves. In like manner, when you see these things, verse 29, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. It's not a great way off. It's not you have a few days, you have a few months, you have a few years to get things ready, but it is at the door. It is, the door is going to open, Jesus is going to be there. You don't have time. That is the parable of the fig tree, that it is summer. because the fig tree has its leaves out, summer is next, and there is no delay. In verse 30, Jesus says, truly or verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And there are some who have taken this verse and said, well, but the people of that he was speaking to, those Jewish people there in Jerusalem, that they are long dead now and we still haven't seen some of these signs come to pass. How is it possible? And there's a number of ways to reconcile it, and there are many people who try. But I would ask you this question. Is the generation he is talking about the generation he is talking to? Or is it the generation who will see the sun darkened, the moon darkened, the stars moved, and the powers of heaven shaken? The ones who see the Son of Man coming. That generation. I propose that it is that coming generation. One generation will see all of those come to pass. Not with great periods of time in between, but they will all happen at once. Again, there are many false teachers out there who will use things like eclipses or other astronomical events to try and convince the unwary that they are speaking for Christ. But when you see all of these things happen, you will not be able to come to any other conclusion except here comes Christ, and he will appear, and it will be glorious. I want to finish then with the end of verse 26. Jesus' coming will be with great power and glory, and it will be a sight to behold that should cause us great joy. God receiving the glory, Jesus showing his power, should cause us great joy. Jesus speaking to his apostles, the disciples there at that time, they would have heard this and said, that's what we want. We want Jesus, the Son of Man, with great power and glory. They probably didn't understand the other parts about him coming in the clouds. He hadn't gone up to heaven yet. They hadn't seen that. They had no understanding of that part of it, but they would have been like, yeah, great power and glory. And that is the same response we should have. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, seen in the clouds, and comes to this earth, he will come in great power and great glory, and everyone will see it, and they will all praise and glorify God, who is and was and is to come. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. This should cause us great joy. Knowing that he is coming, knowing that the way things are today is not the way they will always be. But instead, when Christ comes, it will all be made into the way he wants it. He will rule with power and glory. That is what we should look forward to. We don't have time to get ready once we start seeing those signs. We need to be ready today. And this shouldn't be a challenge to each one of us. Go and tell others to watch and be ready. Go and invite others to see Jesus Christ with all his power and glory. And to reiterate our encouragement from earlier in the message, if you know Jesus as Savior, your life should have been different. Is it different? If not, make sure today. Make sure today. Because his presence doesn't come without making changes. His presence will change even the fabric of natural law. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who created all things. We also thank you, Father, that you are powerful and glorious. Lord, we ask that your name would be lifted up. And Lord, might we never stop watching for the coming of our Savior in power and great glory, that we might be prepared. And Lord, we ask that your name would be praised. Amen.